Welcome or welcome back to Horse for Horror. I'm Mariah.
And I'm Kayla.
And the day this comes out, it will officially be Halloween.
So exciting.
Just so everyone knows, it's not the end of spooky season. Spooky season is like a feeling and a personality trait at this point.
Internal.
Yeah, so it's always spooky season. Never feels sad, but it's the best day of the year. And we hope that you're all enjoying it. We hope you're blasting Taylor Swift's new album because it rocks. And we wanted to drop this mini episode to tell you about the history of Halloween and some of the different Halloween traditions around the world.
Wonderful.
Wonderful. Let's go. Right, so Halloween, also known as All Hallows' Eve or All Saints' Eve, is, you guessed it, a holiday observed by many nations across the world on October 31st. Its roots actually date back to the Celtic people of ancient Europe, which the Celts, who lived about 2,000 years ago, were mostly in what is now Ireland, the UK, and northern France.
Love it.
So, they actually celebrated this holiday on November 1st as it marked the transition from warm, fruitful summer months to the cold and dark winter period that was most often associated with death.
Yeah, I feel that.
I feel that in my little soul. So on October 31st, the Celts celebrated what was known as, and I have in my notes, cue the spooky voice, Samhain. Samhain.
Okay, so what is that?
Okay, so Samhain was celebrated by basically having, it was like, I don't want to say sacrifices to the gods, but it, a little bit was. So they would have sacred bonfires where they would come and they would burn crops and literally sacrifice animals to the Celtic deities. So the Druids, which I didn't know this, for some reason when I hear the word Druids, I think of like those little like wood nymphs, you know?
Really? I don't.
Yeah, I don't know why. I always thought of them as like a nymph. But anyway, they're essentially Celtic priests. I learned that. Mm-hmm. They would make predictions about the future on this night. And so those would be predictions about marriage, health, and death. So for people like the Celtics, who at the time were completely dependent on the natural world, these prophecies were important and viewed as like a source of comfort during the long, dark winters.
God, can I have a druid advise me during the dark times?
Yeah, seriously. So during this festival, it was believed that the veil between the living world and the dead was at its thinnest. Mm-hmm. So departed loved ones were expected, and they were welcome, to return. And the practice of setting out like your loved one's favorite food originated at this holiday.
Okay.
But not only would your loved one come back, other kinds of spirits would also appear. So elves, fairies, sprites, and dark energies were just as likely to come back. Furthermore, there's a very good chance that the spirit of someone you wronged came back. So in order to deceive spirits, they started to wear face masks.
Okay.
Yeah, so that brings in, like, the history of costumes.
How many people are wronging other people that we have to wear face masks?
I was like, I mean, I wouldn't be worried, but okay.
Yeah.
So they would wear this face mask, and when they recognized, like, one of their loved ones, they would reveal themselves but remain safe from darker forces during this holiday. But all good things must come to an end, and by 43 AD, the Roman Empire had conquered much of the Celtic territory. And so over the 400 years that they ruled the Celtic lands, two festivals of Roman origin were actually combined with the Celtic festival Samhain. The first was a holiday called Feralia, which was a day in late October when the Romans traditionally celebrated the passing of the dead.
Okay.
And the second was a day to honor Pomona, who was the Roman goddess of fruit and trees.
Okay.
And her symbol is the apple, which it was incorporated into Samhain, which may explain the tradition of bobbing for apples.
Oh.
Yeah.
I forgot about that.
In the 7th century CE, one of the popes, you know, there's a ton of them, moved All Saints Day, which was originally on May 13th, to November 1st. And so historians actually believe that this was in a move to supplant the pagan holiday with a Christian one. Mm-hmm. So the evening before All Saints Day became a holy or hallowed eve, thus becoming Halloween. And then, you know, by the end of the Middle Ages, All Saints Day and Halloween had merged into one day that we still celebrate today.
Nice.
So, fun story. In the 17th century, Guy Fawkes Day was added and it became a new component to the development of Halloween. What? So, here's what happened.
Wait, when was this?
1605.
Okay.
Yeah, a long time ago. So, on 5 November... in 1605, like I just said, a group
remember the 5th of November.
Yeah. A group of dissident Catholics tried to assassinate King James I of Britain in an attempt that is now referred to as the Gunpowder Plot.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
So the attempt actually failed, and one person in the group, Guy Fawkes, was caught with the explosive beneath the House of Lords. And although he had co-conspirators, his name attached itself to the plot. So it's known as the Guy Fawkes Plot. So this day is celebrated by, I think that says Protestants. Okay. I couldn't tell if it was protesters or Protestants. I was like, huh, both could go the same. Bang. Okay. Okay, so Guy Fawkes Day is celebrated by the Protestants of Britain as a triumph over, quote, popery, end quote. And 5 November became an occasion for anti-Catholic sermons and the vandalism of Catholic homes and businesses, even though the government claimed it was a celebrant or a celebration of Providence sparing the king.
Maybe don't vandalize homes just because you don't agree with their religion.
Yeah, right. So on Guy Fawkes Night, bonfires were lit and unpopular figures, most often the Pope, were hanged while people drank, feasted, and lit off fireworks.
That's a bit excessive, too.
Yeah. So, when the Britons came to America, they brought a lot of these traditions with them. Among, you know, famine, disease, war, and the theft of Native Americans' lands.
Thanks,
Let's
guys.
Move on from that.
Appreciate it.
The Puritans of England, though, refused to observe any holiday which might be associated with pagan beliefs, which included Christmas and Easter, but they kept celebrating Guy Fawkes Day as a reminder of their moral superiority to Catholics.
Oh. And that holiday that reminder.
And that holiday was actually celebrated up until the American Revolution of 1775.
Wow.
Yeah.
We're killing it.
But in the 19th century, America became known as, you know, a mixing pot when a large number of immigrants came here, bringing their Halloween customs. And by the 20th century, Halloween became one of the most popular U.S. holidays, particularly among children and grown-ass women like Kayla and I.
Yep, exactly.
So now we're going to move into some of the stories and traditions of Halloween. So the first is the giving of soul cakes, which I've never had one.
I've never been given a soul cake. Wait, is this a good thing?
Yeah.
Where's my soul cake?
Let me just tell you about them. They're small, round cakes that are specifically baked for Halloween to be given to children who knock on doors, singing and praying for the souls of the dead.
Sure. Where? I have never heard of this.
It's in England. Oh, okay. It was once really widespread in England, but it's not so much anymore. This is going to be really gross.
What's the ingredients?
I don't know. Think about shit they had way back in the day. Fucking corn and flour.
Remind me to look up the recipe. Okay.
In some areas, those who went from house to house singing would actually carry a horse's head on a stick called an old cob.
For what?
I don't know. It didn't say. It just said that they have the horse's head.
Okay. We just have kids holding.
Yeah.
Decapitated.
It's not traumatic at all.
All right. It's fine.
So the tradition is incredibly old, with having been traced back all the way to the medieval period, but it actually does exist today, mainly in the Philippines and Portugal.
The horse head?
And yeah, the cakes.
Oh, okay.
I hope not the horse head, but...
Okay.
So the cakes are actually given in exchange for a promise on the part of the recipient that they will pray for the souls of the giver's family. So, like, that's really nice.
Yeah. Make sure you conduct the prayer, though.
Yeah, seriously.
I feel like that's a horror movie waiting to happen.
All right. So moving on to Dia de Muertos, which is actually a holiday that comes from Mexico and is known because of its bright, colorful, and elaborate costumes. So Dia de Muertos is a festival to remember the souls of the dead relatives for people to gather and pray and celebrate life. During this festival, altars are built in people's homes for the deceased. They're covered with flowers, the, you know, the past person's favorite things, and the graves of the dead are maintained, decorated, and gifts are left for their spirits, which, if you haven't seen Coco, it is an amazing Disney film that features, like, Dia de Muertos, and it's actually really cool because it helps, like, some parents have claimed that it helps them explain death to their children, so.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah. All right, moving on to one in the Philippines, which, forgive me for my pronunciation, but I think that it's Pangong Alua, Pangong Alua. So it actually takes place on what we know as All Saints Day in parts of the Philippines. Children will drape a white sheet over themselves to look like ghosts and knock door to door in exchange for treats. So it just sounds like Halloween for them.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes soul cakes are still given out to the children, and the children will sing songs and pray. Some Filipinos will also travel to their hometowns and sit by the graves of their relatives, sometimes staying overnight. The family will eat, play games, and reminisce about their past loved ones.
That just sounds really nice.
I know, yeah. And typically it's like a really big celebration where like people, like family members that live all over come here to be like, to be together and celebrate.
Yeah, it seems really nice.
All right, so let's go on to one in Ireland, which is referred to as hiding things in the barn brack.
Okay.
So barn brack.
Total sense.
Yeah, I know. Barn brack is actually a tasty Irish bread that is filled with dried fruit and often with a cup of tea. Which, like, I'm like, do they, I guess they probably put the cup in there. Okay, let's just keep going. In the 18th century, barn bracks were baked ready for Halloween, each containing a ring, a pea, a stick, a coin, and a rag.
In the bread?
And then, in the bread, yeah. And then it would be cut up and served. And you basically wanted to get the different things.
Okay.
So, if you got a piece containing the ring, you were bound to get married.
Oh.
If you got a piece containing the pea, it meant the opposite, which was no weddings for you and a sick, troubled marriage in your future, which is, like, kind of fucked up.
The pea? Pea gives you that?
The pea, yeah. Okay. Which, like, okay, I love peas. Don't be hating on peas, guys.
Yeah, I don't mind peas, but I feel like I get the pea every time.
Yeah. So the rag predicted a life of poverty while the corn meant, or corn, while the coin meant that you would become rich.
Great.
Barn bracks are still in tradition on Halloween, but luckily they're no longer filled with coins and peas.
We should do this though.
And it says sometimes families will still bake like a coins in the loaf for children to find and not eat it, which like that could be really fun.
Yeah.
That's like,
what's
a
the thing
hunt?
Where like the baby's in the cake and you're supposed to find it? Like, what is this thing that we do here? You've never seen that? Some people, like, sometimes people will bring, like, desserts, like, cakes to work, and then for some reason there will be, like, a little plastic baby in it. You're supposed to find the baby, and I guess it's supposed to be good luck or something. I've never heard of it until I went to work.
Yeah.
And I was just like, okay, I don't want your baby cake, thank you. Bye-bye.
Yeah, that must be something for old people. I've never
Never. I don't really know what it's about.
Also, like, hot take, I love potlucks, but I simultaneously hate some of them because I'm like, some of y'all are nasty, but you make good spaghetti, so. All right, so the next one, please excuse my pronunciation again, but is Pencham Ben from Cambodia. And so this holiday is celebrated in October and lasts 15 days. People on this holiday pay their respects to deceased relatives, and it's believed that the gates of hell open, allowing souls to wander earth.
Amazing. Look at that. Can I also just slightly complain for a minute? Why don't we in the U.S. have like a week or 2 week or 3 week long holidays like this?
I know.
It's just expected that we just don't go to work. We actually spend time with family and friends, you know?
And we, you know, foster human connections. Wait, yeah, what are those?
What an idea. Anyway.
So people, again, offer food to their relatives, and they either directly or through a medium and or monk communicate with their relatives. They also view these 15 days as a day of celebration rather than sadness. So it's very much about celebrating, eating food, and just having a good time as a family.
Yeah, sounds way healthier.
Yeah. All right, last one. Peeling apples to predict the future.
Oh.
Although this tradition isn't very popular, it hasn't completely died out, and actually people in the UK and Ireland sometimes practice this.
We're about to start.
I know. On Halloween, people peel an apple, then throw a slice of the peel behind them.
Okay.
The slice of the peel will curl into a shape, and whatever letter shape it makes will be the first initial of any future spouse.
Oh, I feel like, okay, I'm gonna try it. Remind me to try it. Wait, do we have to like peel the apple, like the whole thing has to be one long strip?
Or no, you just peel an apple and then like throw part of it.
Okay.
Maybe you do need a longer one so that like forms into letters more. One.
Yeah, okay, we should try this and videotape it and put it on the Instagram. Yeah.
Notably though, some people in Scotland would tear stalks from the head of kale and use them in the same way. So it's like really whatever like vegetable or fruit you have. But I will say that the apples probably go back to that deity. I can't remember her name. Pomona.
Yeah.
Yeah. Whose symbol is the apple. So that might be something that links back to that.
Interesting.
But yeah, so that was our short and sweet Halloween episode.
Nice. All right, well, we need to try this apple thing.
Yeah, we will.
And I'm going to look at the recipe for soul cakes.
Yeah, maybe we'll share that on the Instagram. So make sure you go to our Instagram, Horse for Whore, to check it out. Yeah, we hope that you guys are having an amazing spooky season. I think we'll have an episode next week, not this week, unfortunately. For now, just know that we are enjoying today. We're watching scary movies. We're blasting Taylor Swift. Mm. And we're sending good vibes out to all of you. So, bye.
Bye.